Blog Talk Radio.
For the long intro, I should have prepared this show better than I did as far as setting up the show in the queue, but we are live right now, and it is, it's already after 11 my time, but anyway, welcome to Living Loud Nation for August 1st, 2017, and I thought that we would talk about WWE pro wrestling in general. I'm waiting for one of my co-hosts to call in, and he's on the line right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of my co-hosts, Mr. Mark the Shark.
Hello.
Hello, Mark the Shark. We barely made it, man, but we got it going. So, WWE SmackDown, did you get a chance to watch the highlight show that I sent you?
Haven't watched it yet because I've been messing with my tablet trying to get the freaking YouTube to fix.
We'll talk offline. I may be able to help you with that.
It's fixed now. It was just the update. I need to go through. But I was looking at something of just a few minutes ago about John Cena. They're saying they're not sure if he actually injured his neck or not. There's concern because he's had neck injuries in the past.
Yeah. What's that move that Nakamura does? Because Nakamura won the match. Cena was able to walk away. But he definitely landed on the back of his neck. That back suplex he does, what's it called?
Hang on, I'll look and see what it's called, because I can't remember the name either.
Because normally,
I actually have the list of the match card in front of me.
Normally, when he does that move, the wrestler is supposed to clear his whole body. In other words, he's supposed to flip his whole body all the way over to where his knees and his stomach take the bump, not his neck. It looked like they were resting for time because I caught the ending of the match and I saw it, even though I was in the errands. I found, I'm not proud of saying this, but I found a illegal stream that was broadcasting SmackDown Live, but I did just get a chance to watch the highlights, so I have a kind of an idea. Well, it looked like WWE is reporting that Bayley is injured. I don't know if you heard about that. Let me pull up the article that I'm looking at. WWE posted an article about Bayley suffering a shoulder injury during this week's Raw. You can see WWE's statement and a GIF from when the injury reportedly occurred. Bayley suffers a shoulder injury Monday night on Raw. During her match against Nia Jax on the July 31st edition of Raw, Bayley suffered an injury to her right shoulder. The former Raw Women's Champion was evaluated by medical personnel, but the official diagnosis was inconclusive due to the amount of swelling involved. Bayley has been told to rest her shoulder until next week, at which point doctors are hopeful that the swelling will significantly gone down, so that she may be able, so she may be reevaluated, and a firm verdict can be reached. Bayley says, and I quote, "Everything just tensed up around it," Bayley told WWE.com shortly after the match on Monday Night Raw. "I've never had an injury like this before, so I can't really know what it is. I guess we're going to see." Dr. Chris Amon, which, you know, he's notoriously known as the doctor that fucked CM Punk. You know, when CM Punk, the reason why he left that Raw, you know, after the Royal Rumble in 2014, 3 years ago, because he had that staph infection, which that turned out to be a former staph called MRSA, which Punk could have died from. So it's the same doctor, Chris Amon. And, you know, they still have that $1 million lawsuit against WWE, Punk and Colt Cabana, that shoot interview that they did around Thanksgiving.
I think John Laurinaitis' brother is actually named in that lawsuit, but not real sure.
Why would Laurinaitis be named it unless Laurinaitis had some heat with Punk? Because I don't remember Laurinaitis or anyone in his family being named. The only brother that I know that Laurinaitis has is the World Warrior Animal. Not the, God rest his soul, Hawk. But, you know, that's Laurinaitis' brother. I mean, everybody knows that. But it says here that the doctor told WWE, "We determined the injury is shoulder related, and she will be going under further diagnosis testing. Later this week, to determine the extent of the injury and establish a timetable for recovery." And then there's the link of the gist of when the shoulder injury took place. Oh, my God, dude, I'm looking at this GIF, and I can send it to you. The injury occurred when Bayley was bounced off the ropes. She took a clothesline, and she fell on her right shoulder. And then Nia Jax proceeds to do a back elbow drop on her, and that's how the injury took place, from a simple clothesline. Off the ropes.
But they rushed her down right before that, threw up the X.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to really watch Raw too much, man. I kind of fell asleep.
I haven't been watching Raw or SmackDown lately because of all the crap that's been going on with the emails and all that crap. Ugh.
And there's a poll right now on NoDQ.com. Shout out to my boy, Aaron Riff, who's the owner of NoDQ.com. And there's a poll that goes, which show was better, the 731 Raw or tonight's SmackDown Live? And I would have to say, based on what I saw on Raw, and I saw the highlights, because I'm subscribed to this guy named Wrestling Reality, and he's got a couple of accounts, just in case WWE, you know, does a copyright strike against him. You know, he has backup accounts, and no matter if it's a pay-per-view, no matter if it's a special, no matter if it's a Raw SmackDown, he always puts up these highlight shows. So he can take a three-hour show and condense it down into 20 minutes. You know, get the shit that you really want to watch. You know, if you don't have time, and like with me, I had like a last minute some errands I had to run in, and then I had to go to the store because I needed to get some vitamins and, you know, sit around the house. Stuff that I've been needing to get anyway. But I'm actually feeling pretty good now because I got my vitamins. Like, I haven't taken probably in almost a month. I haven't been taking my vitamin D, my calcium like I'm supposed to. So I went ahead and, because I had gastric bypass surgery back in June of 2008, so a little over 9 years ago, and I'm trying and desperately trying with my meta insurance company that I'm with. It seems like nobody takes, when it comes to any surgeons, it seems like nobody takes this type of insurance for the surgery. So I've got my case manager as well as the president of the company. You know they're a medium-sized company. I wouldn't say they're like like United Healthcare or Aetna or anything like that. They're much smaller than them, but, you know, I definitely need the surgery, and then I can start my weight loss journey again. You know, the days of me wanting to be a pro wrestler, I fucked it off, man, because I was going to have the surgery. My plan was to lose about 175-200 pounds, and then I was going to try to get trained because I was still young at the time. I was 27. But trying to do this now, to get in at 36, I mean, Diamond Dallas Page did it at 35, but he was already in the business, and he was already in shape. And if you notice, like, he had dropped some weight for the time that when he started, when he was doing those house show matches and those Saturday Night Main Event matches and when they had Worldwide. And then when he got real popular around 95, 96, 97, somewhere around there, and then he wrestled Goldberg in that deplorable fucking pay-per-view, Halloween Havoc 98, if you remember that pay-per-view.
I wasn't even watching it, I don't think.
Do you have the network?
Yeah, I have the network. I use a friend's network to get it.
Okay, when you get a chance, go back and watch Halloween Havoc 1998, and then come back and tell me what you thought. The opening match was Raven against Chris Jericho. That was a damn good match. Raven was still kind of in his prime, and he was still able to move around. And you know, speaking of wrestling, since we're talking about wrestling, I'll say this about Raven. When it, you know, in WCW, he had a gimmick where all his matches were under what's called Raven rules. And it was basically a no DQ match, and he would always use a chair. And he had this spot where he would set the chair up, like fold it up like you're going to sit down in it, and he would bounce his opponent off the ropes, and then he would, kind of like trip him. And then the spot was for them to fall down face first into the chair. I don't know, you've probably seen that spot before, but that was like his key signature. And it was subtle little things like that. You know, even though he was from ECW, you know, he was the ECW alumnus and everything, and everything was about chair fire and brimstone and all that stuff. He didn't overdo it, is what I'm trying to say. He was very careful, even to this day. He was very careful about the chair shots and making them happen because he told a story once where he was going to be wrestling some rookie, and the rookie was going up to him and saying, Mr. Raven, sir, what do you want to do tonight? And Raven was like, just sell. And the rookie was trying to get a good good reaction, and he wanted to do all these different spots and call all this different stuff before the match. And Raven was like, no, we're going to do it this way. And then after the match, after they got a good standing ovation, the rookie went up to him and said, thank you so much. And Raven, I think I heard this on a Raven. It's a really good shoot if you ever get a chance to find it or if you have the money to purchase it. It's through, I want to say, Kayfabe Commentaries has it. But there was a shoot done years ago, probably about 10 years ago, with Raven and the Honky Tonk Man. And they talk about psychology and things of that nature. You know, less is more is basically what they were trying to say. You know, I'm a lot older, so I've seen these type of matches, so I know, like, what he's talking about. Like, there were spots in the matches, but they weren't just chair shots and suplexes on chairs. And, you know, even if you go back to the match between Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose from WrestleMania 32 here in Dallas, which I attended, it was just a bunch of chairs in the match in Suplex City. It didn't really tell a story. And even Brock even said, well, Dean Ambrose even said in that interview that it, the infamous Stone Cold podcast, that, you know, Lesnar, before the match, he tried to talk to him, like, all day and all weekend about, you know, what they wanted to do in the match, because, you know, this is a WrestleMania match. And to get a match with Brock Lesnar at this point in juncture is kind of like an honor. I mean, you know that you're going to get suplexed the hell out of. You know your back and neck is going to be sore. And you know you're more than likely you're going to lose the match. So he just basically was trying to talk to Brock, and Brock wasn't trying to hear any of it. So he was like, fuck, man. Brock didn't want to do shit. I don't know if you actually remember that or not, but go back and watch that match. Or go watch highlights from that match. And you'll see Dean was trying to tell a story, but Brock wasn't trying to do it. Brock was just suplexing the shit out of him. There was one spot where they had a bunch of chairs in the ring, and they were stacked up on each other, and Brock just suplexed the shit out of them on top of them. Didn't mean anything. Wow, you know, the crowd was like, okay. You know, some of those marks were kind of like, wow, yeah, I can't believe Dean would take a spot like that, but whatever. I wasn't impressed. Because I think those two could have done, they could have had a, and even to this day, they could still have a good match if they were to build it up right, if they planned the match out correctly. Dean and Brock Lesnar could still have a good match, I believe. That's just my opinion. Well, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't really remember much about it. But, I remember the match, but I don't remember. I know Dean's been in some tough matches from his days versus brain damage, which I knew personally.
They said that Dean Ambrose wrestled more matches last year in 2016 than any other WWE superstar. That's a rumor that's going around.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, he busts his fucking ass for this company.
Yeah, there's supposed to be more cuts coming, too, so I wonder who they're going to be cutting, what they're going to be cutting. Hearing pay-per-views, or they're supposed to be cutting something with pay-per-views and all this and that. I was like, ugh. They're going to be cutting more of the roster.
Are you talking about the Superstar Shake-Up?
No, they're doing some cuts coming up.
I know, but they're also talking about the Superstar Shake-Up. And in that Superstar Shake-Up, you may see some cuts. You know, they're talking about sending some people that need to go back down to NXT or go to NXT to kind of refine that brand. And
they're saying
to
Emma needs to go back to NXT, but honestly, Emma seems to be working fine where she's at. But the problem is she just gets injured and injured and injured.
Who?
But Nikki Bella and Brie Bella are supposed to be returning at SummerSlam.
What is the card for SummerSlam? Because, let me see if I can find it real quick.
Wikipedia has it.
See if I can find this real quick.
I know the match with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, if Brock and Paul loses, they're fired.
Yeah, he said that last night. So we got the Universal Championship match four-way. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, and Braun Strowman. Now, I'm very interested in this match because not just because of the competitors that are in the match, but, you know, that kind of like hint, wink, wink. It's kind of like the rumors of Brock supposed to be going back to UFC and he's part of the testing pool again, and their testing pool people are like, no, he's not part of it, and he would still be suspended for, I think, the rest of the year, and then he would become eligible again, I think, first of the year. That's what I've been hearing. So I'm showing Brock and them in the match, and then
I swear, if Shane McMahon screws over Kevin Owens, it's going to be pretty bad. It says here, Shane McMahon will serve as special guest referee for the AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens match.
Okay, what about the WWE Championship match? Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
I have a feeling he'll retain because of the Singh's brothers or whatever the hell their last name is.
I mean, I would say that Shinsuke is not ready for the title, but then again, the way that they just pushed Jinder Mahal into that spot, they just shoved him in there, but no build up and no reason behind it other than, we got a tour in India, and I believe that tour in India is supposed to happen sometime after SummerSlam in September. So I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, that he's going to retain the title because it's kind of like pushing Shinsuke into that spot. Now, again, the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss, who's my favorite woman probably, she's getting better in the ring. She's up like the best
wrestler.
Yeah,
I know what pisses me off is when people go, oh, she can't wrestle, she shouldn't be in the biz. Well, here's the thing. If a person can handle wrestling in the ring, getting injured, putting their damn body on the line, they shouldn't be judged.
Well,
it's kind of stupid if you ask me when people say that. It's like, oh, they should be fired if they're not. It's like really? If you're going to... You need to realize wrestlers put their damn body on the line more than anything. It's like, ugh.
And speaking of that women's championship match, I mean, if Bayley's injured, then I see one or two things happening.
I have a feeling that the injury, I'm not sure if it's storyline or not, because what
I think it's a shoot, because I just saw it now today. I'm thinking that one or two things are going to happen. They're going to have.
What I've been hearing is they're actually repackaging Bayley. Something to do with Vince does not like the gimmick or something. I don't know what it is exactly. I just know someone said someone didn't like the gimmick, or it was something, the gimmick was starting to get stale. So they're repackaging her, sending her back to NXT.
Yeah, I can see that, but so that we can move on to the other matches, one or two things are going to happen. If Bayley really is injured, as they say that she is, unless Monday comes and we get some more news saying that she's unable to compete.
I have a feeling Rusev may win the match, the singles match against Orton for some reason, especially with him losing his title just recently, not too long ago.
Okay, what about the SmackDown Women's Championship, Naomi versus Natalya? I'm thinking it can go either way, but I think that there's going to be...
I have a feeling someone may get an interference, and we may see a cash-in, but I'm not real sure.
That's what I was going to say. I think that they're going to have a competitive match. Naomi will retain barely. And then that's when what's her name? The Money in the Bank. Carmella's gonna go in there, cash in, and win the title. But we'll see. Now you mentioned AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship with Shane McMahon as special referee. Obviously, there's gonna be some tension in that match. Obviously, Shane's probably gonna get knocked out. And it's going to be a situation when he gets up, him and Owens are going to go at it.
Jericho may get into the match, I have a feeling. For some reason, I have a feeling Jericho may interfere. If it's not a no disqualification.
And it says, with Cena out of the title picture, Corbin cheated out of a match against his current rival. Logic would dictate that John Cena versus Baron Corbin.
I'm not even seeing his name listed on this match on the match card.
Well, this site that I'm looking at is kind of like one of those opinion sites. I can send it to you.
But I'm not even seeing him on Wikipedia, so I'm not sure if they removed him for that injury or...
Then they're talking about Big Show versus Big Cass. Big Cass needs to win. Show doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for his character, and it doesn't do anything. It looks like Miz is going to go against Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental title. Jordan is not ready to be a champion. They need to build him up more. I really didn't like the storyline with him being revealed as the black. This is my black child, you know, the child of Kurt Angle. So I see Miz retaining on that. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Really don't give a shit about that match. It can be good if they actually let Bray do his shit. And Finn Balor, you know, he's one of the best companies. Finn Balor's probably the second best in the company. AJ Styles is the best pure pound for pound wrestler in WWE. There's just no debate about that. Oh yeah, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw Tag Team titles.
Listed on this match card. I wonder if they scrap those matches.
The Hardy Boys are supposed to. Looks like it's going to be a triple threat. Because, you know, SummerSlam's going to be like 5 hours long. You know, it's the second biggest pay per view of the year. So that's why they had so many damn matches. And what I'm reading here is Hardy's versus Gallows and Anderson versus the Revival. So that is your official and unofficial WWE SummerSlam 2017 pay-per-view match of the card. Those are our thoughts. We are about 10 seconds away before we get off the live air and go into the overtime or the overdrive. Do you want to go into the overtime and continue discussing this, or would you like to end the show now?
It's up to you, because I'm not real sure.
I mean, I don't really have much more to talk about, you know, as far as wrestling is concerned. I don't see anything else or heard of anything else that is kind of pertinent that we need to talk about.
What do you think about that situation at that jail and the other situation with that Big Brother contestant, house guest?
I didn't get a chance to read both of those because, again, when you were sending them to me, I was out and about.
What I guess is what happened was is he called the person that said the house guest, I guess it was called the house guest of Wuss or something, and basically said something about the military. I'm not real sure his military background. I'm not real sure what he said or not. But no, the other thing is the house, not the house guest, the prisoners crafted their cell numbers or something, tricked the prison, the police or whatever, the guards, into letting them out because they somehow took peanut butter and changed the number of their cell or something. There's like 12 inmates got out because of it. There's like only one on the loose and the rest are not.
Oh, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I totally forgot to mention this. Going back to SummerSlam, there were two matches that we forgot to announce and talk about. For the Cruiserweight Championship, Neville defends against Akira Tozawa. I see Neville retaining simply because I think they don't really have anything. The thing with Tozawa and they got too many guys to try to remember. The black guy, Titus O'Neil. And that whole situation, I don't see him benefiting from it. I think Titus needs to just drop this whole Titus brand, you know, management thing and get back in the
ring. The reason they're doing that is Titus supposedly is trying to launch a self-help brand. It's actually kind of helping his gimmick, but at the same time, it's actually helping him with the only thing I hate. I don't know if they've got one guy. Whatever happened to that one guy with the overalls that always came out with him?
You talking about when there was a time, prime time players? You talking about Darren Young?
It's the one old guy. I can't think of his name. Had the bibs, the white shirt.
Oh, former WWE champion, WWE Hall of Famer, Bob Backlund.
Yeah, him.
You talking about... Yeah, they've been done with him. They don't really, I mean, it didn't, you know, let's make Darren Young, I think, is almost cleared to come back because he had that elbow injury. I saw a recent picture not long ago. He's actually cut up, real cut up. So it's only a matter of time before
him. 6 to 8 months or something for him to be out.
Well, it's been about that much. It's been about 6, 7. I think he's pretty much recovered from that injury. The Usos defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championship against the New Day. Obviously, the New Day were not on the show tonight, selling the injury. And that's what you need to do. And I think it's like 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. So I expect them to get some even revenge. And this storyline with fucking the... You know, I'll try to be politically correct on this show. I want to announce something before we go any further, that the views and the opinions that we have about certain issues and topics are the views and the opinions, not necessarily of the host, unless it is portrayed in a way that, okay, these are my views about the LGBT situation. Those are the views of Robert Hussle, not actually Living Loud Nation. In case anybody gets butthurt over, basically is what I'm trying to say. Because obviously when we had our last podcast, there was a lot of conspiracy over my co-host, who I love to death. Sean's not with us tonight. I'm thinking Sean's working because of his work schedule. I think he works at night, his full-time job. Plus, you know, Sean has some kids, and Sean's kind of in a tight situation. I don't know if he's talked to you offline about, you know, his life and everything, but not to get into too much detail, I'm thinking Sean.
I've talked to him, I think, only once. He said there's some family drama or something like that.
Right. I don't want to get into, you know, I don't want to spread his business out too much, since we do have people that listen to the show and follow us, which we're growing the show leaps and bounds slowly but surely, and I definitely don't want to give out his information, so or talk about his business, but we definitely, Sean, we're here for you. We love you. We miss you. You definitely add an element to the show that makes Living Loud Nation what it is today. And the possibilities are endless. You know, my brother-in-law's friend or brother told me, I guess you can call him my brother-in-law, so I've known him since I was a kid. He said, the sky's the limit. You know, when he told me about my potential in life. And that's in business, that's in everything. And we called him Weasel. You know, that's his full name's Tyrus, but I got to thank him for that. You know, the sky's the limit, despite my situation. The sky's the limit for you, Mark, despite your situation. And the sky's the limit for Sean, despite his situation. The sky's the limit for us as a podcast and a brand that we're trying to put out that people want to listen to. So with that being said, I would like to apologize or anything that I have said that may have been offensive to the LGBT community. Now, with that said, I do still support Donald Trump's decision on banning transgender people in the military. I support it. I'll give you my reasons why I support it. I don't want to read this. I don't want to get into detail about
it. It did cost a lot of money. Here's the problem, though. Basically, many LGBT people who have kids are kind of upset with that, I can tell you that. I know someone in the military right now, actually follow him on Facebook. He's actually had – I had to call Trevor Project the other day and get someone to talk to him because he had suicidal thoughts.
Wow. So, you know, the podcast. Did you listen to the podcast you did last week? Because I know you weren't on here with us. I think you were asleep or something. Or, you know, the running joke that we have on here is if Mark misses the show, Mark's taking a shit. You know, that's just a running joke that we have. Mark's taking a shit again. You know.
I think at the time I was here, but I couldn't get on the phone because my phone was down.
Oh, okay.
Or someone was on the phone. I can't remember.
Again, Mark, I mean, whatever your reason is, you know, just understand that we pull ribs on each other. We talk, you know, we'll talk shit about each other, but not, you know, it's a joke. If you make a joke about me, okay, fine, no big deal. You know, you have to be able to take a little criticism. So, I mean, we'll be criticized for our show. And so we are going to approach this show as being LGBT friendly moving forward, because I understand that, you know, Mark, you had expressed your concerns the other day. And I'm sure you remember that conversation that we had. And about the, what do you call it, the what project?
Trevor Project.
Yeah. And you said that we have some listeners that are participants or affiliated with that particular brand.
We may. I'm not real sure if we do or not, because they're sometimes listening, sometimes they don't. We never know.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm saying that they listen on the download or the live. And I think we've been very politically correct on this particular edition because this show has been, or tonight's show has been mostly about wrestling. Obviously, we couldn't get, you know, if Sean was on the show and we start talking about wrestling, Sean's not into wrestling, so he might say, oh, well, yeah, I remember that guy, or, yeah, that guy's cool, he sucks, or this guy sucks, or, you know, it'd be that type of situation. But since you and I are huge wrestling fans, we can talk about this. You know, I want this to be a full entertainment phenomenon. I want to be able to talk about more things than just wrestling, politics. I mean, I want this to be a, you know, an open situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So do you have anything else you want to add, or is there anything that we missed? Because I pretty much got as far as tonight's situation or tonight's, you know, talking about SummerSlam, I think we've got all the matches. As far as the Usos, New Day, I see New Day winning the title.
For some reason, But I was looking at that Wikipedia. They didn't even have half the matches listed that you said that they have that, like the – they don't have Usos. They don't have any of that listed. They just have the, like, six matches. So I'm not sure if they scrapped it or what. Because that's kind of weird that they have it listed because Wikipedia – WWE normally edits their Wikipedia and all that when it's the matches, but they didn't put that on there at all. So I don't know if they're – they scrapped some matches or what?
Yeah. Again, go to NoDQ.com, Sean. Mark. And that is a good wrestling news site. I'm actually.
Yeah, I have Aaron on my friends list on Facebook. So
Yeah. So just go. They actually have an updated card on there. It's like the first link if you go down. If you go to that site, so. That's where I got all the matches from. So I just wanted to kind of commentate and talk about those matches. And
I think,
you know,
there's one more match we're missing, but I can't think what match we're missing at all.
I got the match card up.
So I know the WWE app had an announcement for some type of match supposed to be on Monday or Sunday, whoever won those two matches. They're supposed to have some match to determine something. I'm not real sure.
Well, Mark, we're about to get cut off, so I don't want to cut you off in mid-sentence. We're about to run out of time. For Mark Deshart and Sean Helms, who's up with us, I am Ross Renal Fuzzle. This has been Live Loud Nation, and we'll catch you on the next show. Take care.
Take care.